From WHQR Public Media in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's the Coastline Candidate Interviews. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn. New Hanover County's Board of Commissioners has five seats. Each member is elected to a staggered four-year term. In 2020, there are three open seats. Two of the incumbents, Patricia Cusack and Woody White, have chosen not to run again. The third incumbent, Jonathan Barfield, is seeking re-election, and we will hear from him later in the broadcast. We're meeting three of the six candidates today, and up first is Deb Hayes. Deb Hayes describes herself as a professional member of the real estate community. She works as a broker for Intracoastal Realty and in the past has served as regional vice president for the North Carolina Realtors, president of Cape Fear Realtors Association, and she sat on the North Carolina Realtors Board of Directors. Deb Hayes is also a past chair of Wilmington's Planning Commission. She is the current vice chair for Wilmington Downtown, Inc., and she serves on the boards of WARM, Wilmington Area Rebuilding Ministry, and Airlie Gardens Foundation, on which she is vice president. She is current chair of the Art Unveiling Committee for the Azalea Festival and is a past chair of the Wilmington Housing Authority Board. Deb Hayes, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you so much, Rachel. It's my honor and pleasure to be here.
What do you think that you have seen through your work with nonprofits, area organizations like WARM, Wilmington Area Rebuilding Ministry, that perhaps other people of means in the Wilmington area don't really see?
That's a great question. And I'm gonna give it to you straight. There are some really heartfelt things that you have seen. You go into homes that are in such dire need of repair to the point that they almost need to be torn down, and people are living in these situations. It does something to you. It changes your perspective. It makes you realize that you've got to reach out. You've got to help. That's why I'm so passionate about WARM, Wilmington Area Rebuilding Ministry. They focus on assisting people to live in place and not have to move them, not have to relocate them, but try and help them. When you see things like that, and people that, and these are people that are really falling through the cracks. There's a lot of assistance out there, but it doesn't cover everybody, and everybody doesn't know about it and doesn't know how to get it. That's another element that they do to help that. And when you see those people, for example, we rebuilt a floor for this one woman. She literally her living room floor was falling down. There was huge gaps. We went in, completely rebuilt her floor in a day. And when we got done, she just stood there and cried. You don't forget things like that ever. I go by, I see her, make sure everything's going well. We've put a handicap ramp on our house. When you see things like that, you know, you've got to reach out to everybody in the community and make sure that people have what they need and know where to go to get it.
Now, affordable housing has become one of the foremost issues in the Cape Fear region. And the Cape Fear region has been recognized as one of those odd places. You know, it's a smaller metropolitan area, and yet its housing costs have historically not really fallen within what we consider affordable housing. Now, some people are defining affordable housing as for instance, houses that sell for $250,000. How do you define affordable housing? And do you think the area needs to create more of it?
Okay, two questions, and I'll get right to it. Affordable housing has become a buzzword, and it should not. It's serious. It's real. And I'm going to get into that, but there's several aspects to it. When people talk about affordable housing, most people don't really know what that means. Does that mean it is public housing, subsidized housing, which is Section 8 and public housing? Does that mean it's workforce housing? What element of that does it mean? Truly, the definition of affordable housing is what's affordable to you and what's affordable to me, which means about 30% of your take-home income. That's the true definition of affordable housing. Now, when people are speaking about affordable housing as the buzzword out there, and there are elements to that for subsidy, that's where you get people talking about 60% of AMI, which means area median income. These are, you know, acronyms people throw around. And workforce housing, which is 80 to 125% of the area median income. Now, workforce housing, and I'm going to focus a little bit on this, because workforce housing are those people, our firefighters, our police, our service industry, our teachers, our nurses. Those are people that are out there working diligently and hard, making a living, but not able to keep up with the rising cost of housing. That's not just purchase housing, that's rentals. And our rental rates have skyrocketed even faster and higher than our for sale properties.
What is the answer to that then?
Well, there's a couple of things. I think we can address this. You don't want to put a Band-Aid on it. You want to look at continued long-term, but you have to look at the whole picture. And what I think we do is we offer some assistance. People, you know, subsidy is not a word people want to hear. So let's talk about assistance to these people. Let's take a new housing complex that is apartments, because there's a lot of them going up, and I know a lot of people have concerns about that. And let's just say that we ask for that developer to set aside 10%. So let's just say there's 100, so 10 units, because I can do that math without my toes. Let's just say we take 10 of those units, and we establish a program whereby we give 10% off in their rent. That may not sound like a lot, but that can make the difference between somebody being able to live there and somebody not being able to live there. That can be a big step, not a whole lot of money, but a big step. And we work through that program and have opportunities for short-term assistance, and then maybe a little bit longer assistance as we go along. And we establish a pot of money, if you will, to go towards this and have that funded and make sure that we're working through this. This is a pretty quick and relatively simple in terms of government funding opportunity. And we have people out there that are building and developing that are interested in doing this. The beauty of this is nobody knows who is what in that development. Nobody knows that person over there in apartment 3B is getting assistance. Everybody's just living, working, and playing. Right. And by doing this, we can spread it out throughout the county too. We don't have just pockets. We can spread it out. So people are able to live, work, and play in one area, and that reduces traffic.
So you're talking about diversity of income, like sociological diversity in mm-hmm. different neighborhoods. And that's something that is always a challenge to actually achieve. One of the things that we consistently hear from voters, from listeners during election season, when we're talking about local elections, whether it's municipal elections or county elections, we hear people say there are so many real estate interests that populate committees and boards for local government. You, of course, are very involved in real estate, and you do have a lot of connections with developers. What would you say to people who are concerned that you're basically a voice for the developer's agenda?
Okay, two things there. First of all, there are developers, there are builders, and there are real estate agents. Three very separate, different pots, okay? As a real estate agent, I help people find, I don't deal in rentals. I deal in sales. And so I help people find their forever home, their starter home. I help people get into a position of self-sufficiency. I help people move through that process. So quality of life is huge and important to me. And I don't believe that building and density at all costs is the way that we need to go about this. I think we need to be protective of our natural resources and our environment. The essence that makes Wilmington and New Hanover County the wonderful, attractive, beautiful place that you and I moved here for needs to stay. At the same time, there's opportunities for us to continue to grow, because if we don't continue to grow, the opposite of that is we die. And we don't want that. So when you start talking about putting a moratorium on building, that reaches a whole lot of people. It's not just the builders, it's not just the developers, and it's not just the real estate agents. It is the plumbers, the electricians, the HVAC people, the carpenters, the lenders, the underwriters. You can go out in your neighborhood and look, and I guarantee you that at least 30% of them are touched in one way or another by the real estate, if you will, market, the building market, that type of thing. But there's a difference. So the other thing is, I'm an independent contractor. So I, to a certain extent, set my own schedule. My clients also set my own schedule, but I have the opportunity to be out there and know what's going on in our neighborhoods, understand what the questions are, what the issues are with the schools, because yeah. I'm right
and
there.
Deb, I'm sorry to cut you off, but time goes please. Fast and we need to be able to get to some other issues here. These are all complicated issues. We've heard from elected officials over the years, holding public office is never what they imagined it would be. Not, you know, having to answer emails all the time, phone calls in the middle of the night, but getting blowback, negativity. I even heard from one elected official, he's had to deal with death threats. Why do you want to hold office when, as one of my colleagues put it recently, politics has jumped the shark?
That's a good quote. Politics has jumped the shark. I would say I'm a passionate public servant, and I've been doing it since I hit Wilmington. Actually, I've been doing it my whole life. I believe in giving back, and I will tell you, my time on the Planning Commission, we went through some very difficult issues. I got the nasty emails. I got people calling me. I got people showing up at my doorstep. I understand that. People need to have their voice heard. And that's what I want to bring to the table. I want them to understand I'm going to listen to them. I'm going to respond to them. And generally, when somebody is that angry and that upset, you need to let them vent that out. And then really, you can have a reasonable conversation with them and understand where they're coming from.
So education, want to move on and get a couple more questions in. Education, absolutely. A key issue on your website, you say keeping kids in school, creating a safe, healthy environment for teachers and students, enhancing teacher pay for advanced degrees, good ideas. What role do New Hanover County commissioners play in getting these things done, and especially in wrangling what some might argue is a pretty tumultuous Board of Education right now?
It is an issue that we really need to focus on now. As a commissioner of New Hanover County, you're not directly involved in setting policy, but you are directly involved in funding those policies. So that's where your ability to assist comes in. And I think we need to reach out and talk to the experts in those fields. I have clients that are teachers in elementary, middle, and high school. I want to understand what they're going through right now. because we're going through a really tumultuous period with a lot of different things, but add into that the whole COVID thing and distance learning and what are we doing in the Delta that is existing and growing. These are all issues that that the school board and the new superintendent need to take on. Our job as county commissioners is to give them the funding, the resources, and the ability to do what they need to do to get it done. But we've got to do our research and understand what it is they need.
Okay, quick question. New Hanover Regional Medical Center sale to Novant. The defining of power structures is happening right now. The community foundation is a source of controversy. Some say they want it to be a component of a government entity, so it's overseen by the local government commission. Opponents say that will seriously impede the return on investment for this big pot of money that people who are on the board of the foundation would manage. Where do you stand in terms of whether the community foundation should be part of local government or not?
Well, the appointment of the people to that foundation is, of course, critically important. One of the issues that has caused our hospital to move in this direction is because of how it is funded.
So part of the local government or not? We have to go out. I'm so sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think it's a combination effort. I think we need to make sure that we address all those issues and we put the right people on that foundation board.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. Deb Hayes, candidate for New Hanover County's Board of Commissioners. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Rachel. It's my pleasure. And please, if anyone has any questions, call me, 910-232-0505.
When we come back from this break, we'll meet candidate Bill Rivenbark. Stay with us. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.